Welcome, After Buzzers. You're watching the After Show for Luke Cage, episodes 3 and 4, where we talk Luke Cage goes down, Mariah gets paid, and Claire says goodbye. Stay tuned for more.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, After Buzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
What's up, After Buzzers? We are back. If you were binging this show like we are, we couldn't wait, so we're doing 3 and 4 right now. Again, my name is Shaka Smith, joined by my lovely co-host.
What up, Shaka? I feel like we just did this show.
All right.
It's your boy, Evan. What's going on, y'all?
Hey, guys. Zia here.
Hey, guys. Sarai.
So we got some great topics. I mean, nonstop action. Just 1, 2, 3, and 4. Bang, bang, bang. What do you guys think of your overall thoughts on 3 and 4?
3 and 4 are great. They were emotional for me when, you know, yeah. Claire says goodbye and when that whole thing goes up. That was sad. I almost started crying a little bit.
Yeah. For real. Yeah. It's like what I love about the show. It's a hero Marvel movie, but it's also real life situations. Yeah. You see the guy beating up the girlfriend in front of the kid and, you know, the losing of the love with Claire. Mm-hmm. Or not losing it, but temporarily paused, you know.
Yeah. Hopefully not losing it.
Yeah, the good thing about the show is, like, when any show can transport you from show to reality or personal experiences, that's the mark of a good show. Mm-hmm. Luke Cage finds a way to tackle issues in the black community. Whether you know what happens in the black community, you don't have to be black to understand what's going on with domestic violence. Mm-hmm. But they find a way to hit things home with a lot of things that people don't want to talk about in their community. And that domestic violence thing is huge. Yeah. That's why it's such a powerful part of the show.
Yeah, I felt like that was colorless.
Yeah.
I didn't see color on that one. I just saw a man beating a woman, which could be in any different household.
They want to show you what that's some serious stuff that goes on and how Luke Cage handled it and how he felt out, how he should have handled it.
And the nosy neighbor is the one snitching, you know? Yeah. She's like, oh, I got her in trouble. Let me call Luke Cage.
Oh, that neighbor lady, though.
Yeah.
Wouldn't want him to. Sorry.
And we also got the big, and we'll talk about some more of the big conversation on race, which I thought was huge because... Mm-hmm. We don't really see too much from, like, the Hispanic community in terms of being talked about on television, and we actually got that. So that was like, wow, that's really cool. So we'll talk about that some more a little bit, but that's going to do it on our topics. We get Luke Cage going down, and really it's so juxtaposed in these two episodes because we start off with, you know, one guy felled by Luke Cage and then, you know, start off again with Luke Cage being the one that's down.
It's one of those things where when you see Luke Cage, he's been propped up a certain way. If you should know by now what he brings to the table as far as his power. So you gotta when he meets adversity, it always throws you. No matter what you think is gonna happen, you're like, okay, wait a minute now. Yeah. He just got done beating that Judas bullet. Now he just got the brakes beat off him. Like, you're like, okay, hold on now. So it takes you back a little bit. So it's interesting to see him down.
Well, and it was interesting, too, the way the Bushmaster did it. He studied Luke Cage. He got him there to fight all of his men with the sole intent of filming it.
Scouting him.
Yes. And studying to how to beat him. Crazy. And I mean, I guess you have to see that coming. Because like you said, Luke Cage has been so indestructible this entire time. It had to be something. It had to be someone. And he's finally has a villain that's someone that he can actually go toe-to-toe with.
And you would think he would be a little bit more cautious. Because, you know, if I'm Luke Cage, I know that I'm invincible, but if you're willing to face me, maybe you got something up your sleeve. Right. That's what I'm thinking. Like, wait, why are you trying to... Yeah.
But how many rooms has he walked into and everyone still use the typical gun? Like, they have not watched him in life at all. He just go, duh, okay, are you guys done? Now let me do my work.
That's true.
Well, my favorite part, I guess, was back in episode 1 where the guy says, well, we have to try or our boss will kill us.
Yeah.
So, like, they just know it's not going to work.
Yes, you know we tried.
But we have to know we attempted.
It did work, though, when he got shot out the window.
Oh.
I don't know what kind of gun that was.
It was like 6 shotguns
from
in one.
From cockroach.
That's why. That's why it was 6 shotguns in one. So the blast could push him. The thing about it is he still should have. Luke Cage been smelling himself a little bit. That's what this is about, though. You seen the video, the little, you know, the mediocre dab that Shaka didn't like. the dab was poop. But like, so like, and when, so he came in, but you gotta watch that. You watch Bushmaster, he's just staring at you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You gotta understand that dude is not phased at all.
He
caught a grenade and Bushmaster barely flinched.
Yeah.
That should bother you a little bit. And Luke still was smelling himself. I'm like, all right, bro.
When you're the best, you always... Yeah. Everyone wants to be the best. He's so if you're the best anything, athlete or anything, there's always someone coming for your position.
Yeah.
And the best way to beat the best is to learn how the best be the best.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And also, he's not entirely invincible. I was thinking about this, and I don't know if this is going to come up ever, but he can still be poisoned. Mm-hmm. And in the Defenders, and I don't know if you watch the Defenders, when that scene where Stick has the smoke... He still goes, that knocks him out.
Absolutely.
He goes down. Yeah. So there are still ways that normal people can get at him. And I hope he thinks about that.
Yeah.
That's what makes Marvel so interesting. When they build their heroes, when they were coming up with their heroes way back in the 60s and 70s, they always found a monkey wrench for them. It's calculated. Yeah. Yes. They wanted to humanize their people. That was their way they combated DC. Because a lot of DC's characters are like, you know, on the upper echelon, except Batman. So like when they come up with these little ways you can defeat them. You know what I mean? Like Wolverine can be beat with a magnet. Yeah, right.
Superman has kryptonite.
He had to come up with a radioactive piece of his homeworld, but you gotta find that stuff.
A lot of people don't like Superman for that reason because he's just—it's not fun watching him. He just beats the crap out of everyone.
Like the main characters, that's why I love Marvel, because their main character, like, you can kill Spider-Man with a bullet, and he's a kid going to school. You can rob him and he'd be done. So it's like one of those things where Luke Cage, like you said, poison can take him.
Yeah,
like the right cocktail could kill.
Maybe you should jump on the cast and, you know, help out. They're struggling. Like, no one seems to know how to get rid of Luke Cage.
And we get Luke Cage. He goes down, obviously, physically, but he kind of goes down in his relationship as well. Big time. What did you guys think of this new turn of development? And are you rooting for Luke and Claire?
Yeah, I'm still Team Luke and Claire. I love their relationship and their dynamic and how much they really care for each other. And I was a little bit bothered by Luke Cage in this, just in because she came at him trying to apologize to him, and he was like, "But you can't castrate me."
That was the moment.
That
was the moment when he said that line. I was like, "Oh, bro, you ain't trying to help at all."
No,
he was like, "Bro, like I'm a fool for you. Like you are my guy."
Just trying to apologize.
I know, baby. And after the OG told him, bro, like, just say yes. She's right. A woman that fine is always right. You know what I mean? And Luke, he can't castrate. Lord, she's like, "So I'm castrating you now?"
Well, Luke is just now kind of, he's coming to his own. He's getting comfortable with this. And he's like, "I'm figuring out how I fit in this world."
Did you guys pick up on how they were just doing lessons about just manhood? They kept saying, like, just something about being a man, you will kind of lash out a little bit, or you have to let a man be a man. I saw that a lot.
Absolutely.
And definitely in those episodes.
Yeah, that idea of I'm independent and I can do what I want.
You can't do too much.
And you should trust me to make smart decisions.
But you should also trust your partner. And if you really want it to work, it needs to be a partnership.
I agree. And one, like you said, you're a man and she's a woman. Like, you can't just, like, right. You know what I mean? Like, you can't always flex on somebody. Listen, bro, like she was kind of coming hat in hand, so to speak.
Yeah.
And maybe one of those, we'll agree to disagree, and we'll maybe touch on this later at a later date. Oh, he wasn't having it though.
Yeah.
And then he went over his back, especially with the whole domestic violence umbrella.
Yeah, when he punched
the wall. Bro, you can't punch the wall. And like I said, Rosario, that's my girl. She always brings it home.
She's a
very special actor. She gets quiet and she shakes and she sits down like, "Bro, you just hit the wall." Like,
and you're Luke Cage. It's not you just hit the wall. If you were maybe, you know, a buck 25.
Yeah. Right. You a big dude. And she was like, "I promise myself if this ever happened, I gotta go."
Cause that's the first time.
It is the first time. Like, that, is it me? Like, you know, I never hurt you. I'm like, does she?
Right.
Like, so like you really threw her for a loop. And she's like, "I got," she sat, she paused, she breathed in, and she was like, "I gotta go."
Yeah.
She thought about it. Because
they both come with baggage. His baggage is his father. Obviously, we find out that she has baggage with her parents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe domestic violence or something violent is in her past.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And I love that we had that conversation about race because we don't hear that. You know, because he's talking about, you know, getting followed in the store. And I'm like, "Yes, I know this." And she's like, "I had it in the house."
She's like, bro. Right. Like, deny who they are to stay away from stuff. Like, they're embarrassed of who they are. Like, you don't know the Latino dynamic, bro. Like, you can't always talk about, "And you black, you get followed by white people all the time." Like, she's like, but
in my own home,
in my own home,
and that's a big thing among the Afro Latino community is light skin versus dark skin, and Dominican and Cubans, and I've seen it myself from Miami.
Absolutely,
Afro Latin.
I never thought I'd hear the conversation on television.
That's what makes the show. That's one of the elements. I'm glad you touched on it. That's one of the elements of the show that makes it special. Like, those dynamics that a lot of people don't get to see. Like, even sometimes I forget that.
Oh, I forget it too.
You know what I mean? I'm like, "Oh my gosh, that's right. They do battle with that." Like, you know what I mean? Like,
this show is not just entertainment. I feel like it's also educational.
It's
a thin line between the two,
and they do it in such a wonderful, great way. It's like,
And
it's not preachy.
Yeah. Oh, not at all. No. Exactly. It just feels very real.
One of my good friends, like, look, Joe, I love you to death, bro. He was like, he like texted me one day about the show. He was like, bro, I didn't like, am I ever been out of line or something? No, I swear. And I was like, no. So nice. I love that kid, man. I love him. I go, no, bro. He's like, dude, it's just, man, I kind of, if I ever, I'm like, no. The fact that that show compelled one of my friends to send me a message. Because he felt he was racially insensitive during maybe a joking time 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. But that speaks volumes to me.
Because I think it immediately let you see that you don't know what you don't know.
Right. Right.
True.
Because there Luke Cage is giving his testimony to her, realizing she goes through the same thing, and just he had no connection to it.
Absolutely not.
Yeah. And I feel like every pocket of people, I don't know if that's a proper way of saying it, but I feel like everybody in every group has a certain thing unique to their culture that may be oppressive or maybe, you know, they just may not know any better besides things outside of their culture.
Yeah.
You know, like hanging out with different people and traveling different places and being exposed to different places and people, it's like, wow, you guys have a niche. It may not be my niche or whatever, or your, you know, thing on your shoulder or whatever, so to speak, but in the same respect, they feel passionate about something else that may bother them.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
And we don't always ask ourselves each other those questions.
Yeah, we're expected to just be sensitive to different types of people without knowing everything. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like, I know that happens all the time when people are like, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't even know that was offensive.
Yeah.
Like, absolutely. It was when it was Halloween, people were dressing like as...
Or the blackface. The blackface was going on?
No, like Indians and stuff.
Well, by now, they should know that.
Yeah, I had no idea. You know, I wasn't educated on that, so I had no idea. It's simply a conversation to be had about a lot of things.
Yeah.
And then from there, you know, people can be more sensitive to certain things.
Yeah. It's well said.
Oh, I was literally just going to say the same thing because I've only been here on the mainland. We call it that.
For only
for only like 4.5 years. Yeah. And so I'm new to a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. I grew up in this little bubble on this tiny island in Hawaii, and there's different issues there, like racism there against Micronesians, like all kinds of it's a all different thing, a whole different world there. And so I'm very familiar with that sort of stuff. And coming here, I'm learning about all these other sets of things that I also previously didn't know about. Wow. So it's like, absolutely. Mm-hmm. It's the same sort of thing.
Someone came to me one time and she was Jewish and she said, man, I feel like Jews are hated by the world. And I was like, huh? Right. You know what I mean? Like, wait, huh? Back up. Like, what is your story? You know, and it just takes education. And I've heard that also by, who was he? What was he? It was someone who, she was Middle Eastern. She was saying how women in her culture, or she felt as though it was like the hated of the world. And I'm like, okay, interesting.
So
you know,
everybody has
a thing. Yeah, so we always walk with our thing. Yeah. We don't think everyone's walking with their own thing. Yeah. As
it was also a white guy. He said the same thing. He was like, man, I feel like white men are just being attacked most right now. And he was like, we feel like we're just,
ain't that something?
You know, like we're just, you know,
most interesting,
being bullied the most.
Yeah,
and that is his perspective.
And if that's your feeling, you can't be dismissive of it. But just figure out why. Or
and it's a conversation. You talk about it. Okay, so why do you feel that way?
Y'all are coming from a very intelligent perspective. It's very intelligent the way you say that, because you don't know what affects other people. But you say you have to be sensitive to what they feel.
Sensitive to things you're not educated about.
I agree.
Like I had a friend, I can keep going with stories. Cross off. She was part of the LGBT community, right?
Yeah.
And come to find out there's different letters. There's the IQ now and other letters. But that wasn't necessarily things I was educated about. And she was telling me about it, and she brought someone around who identified as the pronoun they. But it was, the person had the appearance of a woman, but the identification of a male, but just went by the pronoun they. And
also, that
was a lot.
Also, you have to realize sometimes people aren't necessarily meaning to be hurtful.
Yes.
They just don't know. So just if you also come at it from a way of being like, look, I understand you don't know this, but just so you know, like this is instead of, you know,
it's, you can tell when people are trying to be rude on purpose. Yeah, you know? If I tell you, hey, it hurts me when you call me she, then try your best to call me there.
Yeah, absolutely. You know?
That's what I like about what this show does. This show just started a whole dialogue of different things. That's what
that goes beyond topics on the show.
Absolutely, and that's what I think this show was trying to do. I think that's what they were trying to execute. They were trying to start a dialogue between different communities.
Yeah.
And I think they're succeeding in that. Yeah. And it's just not just a cool show, but it's starting dialogue on very sensitive subject that CNN won't even touch.
Yeah, but we can talk about it in a civilized way, and I think if you want more of this type of dialogue, you gotta subscribe.
I agree.
That was so smooth.
Yes.
Shaka Strong is the king of
the segue.
The segue
to the library. Listen, After Buzzers, I need y'all to subscribe and like everything that we do. But here we have a network after shows that for nearly all your favorite TV shows, from drama, reality TV, sci-fi, and more. There's no network that works harder than we do to serve television fans, PC, but now we need your help. We're asking you to please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. Besides helping us a ton, here's what's in it for you. It caters specific content you already like directly to you. It brings you your favorite after shows so you don't have to seek them out. And it suggests content from other shows, channels, or podcasts that might interest you. Subscribing to our YouTube channels will also help you discover new shows we'll show your love. Since you already tuned into our Luke Cage after show, Shaka, you are on what show, my friend?
Fit Club. We do Fit Club on Wednesdays. Yeah.
And you?
Marvel TV Weekly on Sundays.
And you?
Tuesdays, The 100.
Yeah. And I also do Queen Sugar. That's on the drama side.
You see? Yeah, drama so my wonderful panel does many different shows, many different genres. So you guys subscribe to their shows, please, if you want to see them. Don't be shy about subscribing to them either. And if you're worried about any pesky notifications, don't be. They are optional. It's easy. Hit that subscribe button. And if you do, we will shout you out live on AfterBuzz TV.
Yes. And as I told you guys can be subscribed to AfterBuzz TV, but not necessarily to our genre. We are in the sci-fi, superheroes, and fantasy genre. We also got Preacher, Cloak and Dagger, Into the Badlands.
Yes.
So those are shows you're into as well. You get those updates. But yeah, definitely sci-fi, superheroes, and fantasy channel.
Subscribe.
We appreciate it. let's talk about...
Sorry, Ivan said, nice segue. Ivan, so I appreciate it. He told you that segue is vicious.
I love it, though. I mean, this is the way we do continue these conversations. Yes. Is like being on here in AfterBuzz and then having you guys tune in and then interact with us. So,
we do appreciate it, though. So if you like any type of show, we probably have it. I'm sure we do. We cover everything.
And you can probably request it, and we'll try to meet your needs, too. Absolutely. So. But let's get back into Luke Cage, and we got to talk about Mariah getting paid. So many aspects to her getting paid, whether or not she really is paid.
Exactly.
What do you guys think about Mariah kind of closing this deal, so to speak?
There's going to be a twist.
Yeah.
Definitely going to be a twist. I don't believe
too
it.
Too easy so far. Huh?
Shades doesn't believe it. Shades doesn't trust it. Shades has that great line. Like I said, he said, if I can't, where I'm from, if you can't touch it, it's not real.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretend money. It's Monopoly money. Mariah, she can't see the forest for the trees, you know, so it's... She's so close to the finish line.
She wants it
too bad. And I understand where you look. Come on, she's talking about if I close this deal, everything. She's dead wrong, but every single thing my family has done, from prostitution to gambling to drugs to, you know, really bad stuff, washes away. So she can't see that the deal might not be on the up.
She's already planning international travel.
Oh, yeah. She's like, let's go here. We're going to go south of France, baby. What we going to do?
She's like,
hard on I believe his name is Piranha Jones.
Piranha
Jones. And he's too much of a salesman to me. He's so hacky smarmy. A little bit. Like, oh, he's always smiling and laughing. And, you know, I don't trust that.
Because what's it. I love the guy that plays him is because he's made something of himself. He went to Wall Street, was dominated by mostly white people, and he's got a little chip on his shoulder, and he like weaseled his way to millions. So now he's really...
He's that dude.
Yeah, he's smelling himself now. Yeah. So he made it by hook or by crook. So I think he's always going to have that mentality.
And I thought Comanche had some good... Is it Comanche?
Comanche. Kind of like that.
Yeah. I think he had some great advice for Mariah, even though we find out he's like double H.
But still, look.
She does not trust him. And I don't know if it's just because she can kind of sense something.
Sexual tension.
Or she's just... I don't want to go on there.
I don't know, but she hates that.
Or she just like, I don't trust anyone that I trust. But or did she have like a sixth sense?
I just... Yeah, I think, there's something. Yeah. Yeah. No, you're good. You're good. Go.
I think sexual tension because...
Sexual tension?
Just small references.
I thought you were being facetious.
No. Sexual tension. Because when he made a comment about something about black or whatever, and then she grabs her non-black boyfriend's hand, he looks at her a certain way. When they make out, he looks at her a certain way when she makes out with him and stuff. And one time when he brings her the food, she's kind of sitting there. I thought at that point they were going to try. He was going to try something with her.
Really?
Y'all don't pick up on those nuances.
Oh, absolutely. No.
He kind of looks like.
No, I picked up on those, but I thought he was doing that to like really intimidate Shades.
Yeah.
Like, she got you like that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought as well.
Oh, yeah. Shout out to Uptime, by the way. This energy drink is delicious.
We're lit, yeah.
Yo, for real, pick up the Uptime. But, and no, it's interesting because I just really just don't think she liked that brother.
Yeah. I think she sees this little just brought you. What she? Oh my goodness! What she? I can't. I ain't gonna say what she said. She
he's
said,
good looking though.
Yeah. No, he's not. Listen.
Oh,
listen,
sorry.
No, no. No. See, that's where the sexual tension is. Yeah. On that panel. No, no, no. But like, it's like one of those things where she doesn't like anything that reminds her of the hood. I don't think. No. You know, you said that great. There was that great line, man. You always like Sadiddy. She goes, I invented Bad and Bougie. Yeah. I was the one that started Bad and Bougie. Like she is one of those ladies. Oh, don't get it twisted. She's from the hood, but she don't like anything to remind her from she's from the hood. Really? And she's seen that brother come in there.
You think
like,
Shades is from the hood?
Look at Shades though. Shades in a three-piece $2,000.
I've been looking.
You see that part when Cottonmouth, whenever he was done, he was like, "Listen, y'all take some money and buy some new clothes." Yeah. This y'all stop looking like these thugs. See, he's one of them guys. He's from the hood, but Hernan can dress, man. That way in dress. So like he doesn't she, that's what she respects about him. She respects that he's like one of her, you know what I mean?
She could take him to the promised land because he looks the part.
You see that dude coming in on him all tats and stuff like that. That she goes, that suit don't change you, bro. You still one of them.
And we just see how desperately she doesn't want to leave. She's already planning to go.
She wants out.
To actually get out of Harlem.
But she just murdered someone. It makes sense that she wants to get as far away from that scenario as possible.
Well, and she realizes if she's going to be in the public eye, that stuff is eventually going to come out. She can't hide that. For like you said, she can't hide her past forever. You can't just make it go away with money.
But it is a dramatic turn, though, at least from season one, where she was really tied to that club and like Harlem. Like, so she does make a complete. Because that to her, that was legacy. And so she does. Now she's willing to just go. I guess the price is high enough. But
absolutely.
So
and it's crazy because like what she did instantly when Cottonmouth passed, like she classed up the joint. It's not like he had a bad spot though, but you know, she classed it up. She changed the artwork. She changed it, and then she like brought in a little classier, a little jazzier thing.
Speaking of that, the music was music was amazing.
The music is fire. Oh my goodness, some of these artists. I mean, Gary Clark Jr. Set it off in that one episode, and they bring in Joy's in the first episode. She's like, if you don't know who Joy is, she did she always would do like background or courses on Outkast albums back in the day. So if you hear this powerful soul voice in like Outkast, it might be Joy, you know what I mean?
So these are established.
And some of them are on the come up too, but some of them are like classic soul jazz singers. And Gary Clark Jr., he's a band.
And I love that because it led to a great segue for a conversation between Mariah and Bushmaster. Talking about the music and the blues and the truth of the blues, it knows history even when you don't want to remember.
That line was crazy. Like, I don't care what you trying to forget. He goes, that doesn't forget. It's like, that doesn't forget the servants and the slaves that are still here. You can try to push us to the back all you want, but we're always going to be here.
But the music remembers, and you're playing the type of music that remembers. Wow. What did you guys think about that scene in particular?
That's one of my favorite.
That was a good scene.
That's the greatness of Luke Cage.
Yes.
I'm telling you, it's constantly educating and entertaining at the same time.
I mean, for me, the best part of the scene was like, line after line, they're like the double entendres. They're talking, and then finally she's like,
it's
Dillard.
That's what's so great about her. I told you, like, don't get into it. She's still from the hood, though. Yeah. Like, every time she act like she bougie, somebody get under her skin.
Drop the pretense.
She will.
Wait a minute. Yeah. Have you guys been in New York, though? That's just the essence of New York.
It is, though. Yeah.
That is from the artwork to the music. All that stuff has meaning. From the buildings to the barbershop has significance.
Yeah.
Significance. I don't know the word. Significance. Significance. I can't say that word.
You know, you're good. And all those elements are right when it comes to there's a part where I think it was a cockroach when he's talking about, listen, I want this money to be black. He was like, hey, see, now people don't know there's another dynamic in the black community that all black people feel like we're all not created equal. He's like, I'm not talking about ganja smoking black. I ain't talking about this black. I'm talking about black, southern black.
That's what he said.
Southern black, like our black, like slave black. You know what I mean? He's like, y'all ain't one of us. And it was one of those things where she paused, though. That gave her cause to pause. So I just think it's interesting when they bring up those dynamics of what race means to us in certain like aspects
and you see that on the show, because there's different types of black people, there's different types of minority. It's not just like this guy's a gangbanger, that you have the cop, you have the guy who's upstanding, you have just different shades and flavors that we knew existed but we just didn't see on television.
You see cross class as well. You see poor, you see wealthy, you see I don't know, we haven't seen too much religion
religious, well, the, just a little the bit reverend. The preacher, yeah. 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 Reverend, yeah. Just but that like diversification.
Yeah. Yeah.
Diversity. I can't talk today.
And then we had Claire kind of pulling the plug and saying goodbye, and along with Bobby's goodbye too. So we had these two major goodbyes. What did you guys think about the two goodbyes? And I guess it's not for predictions later, we can talk about what will that signal for the future.
Yeah, they're both his rock too. They're both different kinds of his rock.
Yeah.
The OG is that's you know, he's that brother, like he's like that father figure. Yeah. He's that letting you know about the old ways and how things are done. He's letting you know that what his mistakes and how and what not to do. And then there's Claire. You know what I mean? His love interest. Like, he's losing both rocks at the same time.
Well, that's the thing. Now he has nobody. Who does he have to go to?
Misty.
Yeah. Misty. Oh. Yeah, that's right. You're right. Misty. He does have Misty. But I laughed so hard when he was like, can I stay at your place? And she was like, hell no.
No.
That was amazing.
And then she's like, get your bag.
Get your bag.
Yeah, he left the bag in there. She's like, get your bag. You ain't coming back with that bag.
He's like, girl code, cannot do this.
Yes. And that's what I loved about it. She was still looking out for Claire. She's like, look, you guys this is not over yet. You're not coming to my bed. Get out of here.
Plus, part of her didn't like trust herself, though. Like, she
knows if you, well, of course.
Like the granny, she was like, when he was like, come
back. That was amazing.
Yeah, she's like, we could tussle a bit. Yeah. We could tussle.
Yeah, that was nice comic relief was the granny.
Yeah.
To him, like, not a snack, but a meal.
Yeah. We forget that he's a sex symbol in the community, too.
Right, because you see all the women looking at him all the time he's walking down the street. So, yeah.
He knows what he's doing.
Come on in for some coffee.
Yeah.
He could buy a shirt size bigger. He knows what he's doing. That shirt is on small.
Yes.
I love that you see that as well. That he can be this character who's also a sex symbol in the community. He's also someone who's, like, current and praise and what have you. So I don't think we always get that message from like these strong black men being like sex symbols or that popular.
What do you mean, Denzel?
But that's Denzel's a long time ago.
Terrence Howard.
We're talking about
No. you got to think about it. Like, tell me the last sexiest man alive on the people that was black.
The guy on Queen Sugar.
I don't know. Kobe Serbo.
He started to bring it up.
But then you do like 50 more issues. Like we're not really known. Like Idris don't even get up on there. I'm like, we talk about like some powerful.
Idris Elba, I love him.
You see what I'm saying? Shaka's right about that though. We don't really get the spotlight on. Like, this is a strong, positive, cool, sexy,
strong, muscular dude.
Disrespect, just like Denzel. Yeah. He was our guy way back, though. You know what I mean?
Well, because typically someone like that is going to be like looked at as angry, and the angry black male kind of narrative comes through rather than the sexy black male.
You are,
It's changing because, like, Jamal on Empire, I think he's maybe sexy to men and women, but.
Oh, that's what this is all about, though. This whole thing. We're
in the midst of
We're in the golden age of being black. I'm sorry, listen, it's cool to be black now. Who's not Black Panther to get $1 billion in the box office?
Right?
Yeah. We're over right now, brother. It's all good, man. I'm
like a wrestler, brother.
Yeah, we good, brother. We good.
Macho Man.
Yeah, Macho Man wrestler.
We're over, man. I'm not even mad.
But yeah, so we got these two things. So I think Luke is going to be really searching, for
that next.
Might find himself lost a little bit. But we also got some really good information about the Jamaicans in the town. We got the Stylers, and we got the... What was the original group?
Yardies.
Yardies
and
now the Stylers.
And then we got, in a great twist, they go to visit ICE, the ICE Detention Center, which is very much in the news these days.
Yes.
And they get some news from Gideon. What do you guys think about the story, the backstory here?
With Gideon, the Yardies, the Bushmaster and everything like that. I mean, I guess we sort of are seeing why the Bushmaster is back and feels like everything's his. So that's kind of nice to get a little bit more on that.
And also that he's maybe not as irrational that you think he is.
Yeah. Yeah.
He actually might have some
claims.
He might have some claims on Harlem. He's dead. He's like, it's not just delusions of grandeur.
Yeah.
Like, he has history to back him up. Mm-hmm. And we were forgotten. We're the ones that were building and then we got buried underneath the ground. But this is my home.
Yeah. He's shown his hand to Mariah now.
Oh, yeah.
She knows. Yeah. She knows what's going on now. Yeah. She's probably rethinking some things at this point.
But he's got the gun. So
And like when Shades was like, wait, you sure he just like fatten this up for the kill? Like, he just gave us, he gave us more money than the guns were worth.
Yeah.
And she's like, nah, it's all good. He's like, Shades is like,
she was just seeing that money.
Yeah.
And the line was, if he has superpowers now to where he can beat Luke Cage, what do you need the guns for?
Yeah.
The guns must be for something else.
When he's seeing the video, that's when Shades like, that's the same dude that I got. Mm-hmm. Okay, wait a minute now.
I've seen those gray eyes before.
Oh, he just don't have guns. He can beat Luke Cage. He's the biggest threat right now.
But at the same time, they don't know it's like a temporary deal.
True.
So that'll be an interesting reveal, or you know how that comes to light.
Him taking the bullets out hurt them.
Yeah, he's clearly not as strong as Luke Cage. So
interesting.
But he gave Luke Cage a headache for like days. So something must be. Yeah, because there's been episodes when someone punches Luke Cage and his whole arm just like shattered.
Yeah.
But this guy, not only did he hit him, but he gave him a concussion.
Yeah, his power is very interesting, man. Yeah. He beat the brakes off Luke, but a gun can't hurt him though. Probably a higher caliber bullet could have, like a Judas bullet might actually do some damage.
Definitely get there him.
And then we also got to talk about Misty and Colleen.
Awesome.
Yeah.
It was, like I said, the woman movement is here, man. Not just, you know, like not just like a person of color movement. At the same time, it's kind of like the women have been more, never been stronger in TV and, in, just in life in general. Mm-hmm. And it's not just the bar scene for me. It's not just a scene in the boxing ring. That scene is showing you what two strong women can do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. While they're tipsy, by the way.
Yeah.
They're all supporting one another in terms of Misty, Colleen, and Claire.
Except between Misty and Nandi. They do not like each other.
Man, she because Nandi's still salty that she got hurt and lost the point guard job. Yeah. She's still mad about basketball.
But she's over there singing tunes and she's like, you should be at work, you know? Jennifer Holliday over there.
And she's still mad that she's getting sympathy because of her arm. She's even hating on her having one arm. Yeah. There's a lot of sympathy.
And that's what I liked about that dynamic was she wasn't really treating her differently because she didn't have the arm. She was still just as salty and mad and like...
Didn't care at all.
But I do love that they have that camaraderie, the women, because they've all been through something together as well. So they've formed a bond and they've just kind of stuck together. I love that.
Me too.
Yeah. And I really love how Colleen, we know when she got knocked down, Colleen's like, I'm not helping you. No. Go on. Like, this is all you.
She just sipped on her beer too. She's like, she all right?
Yep.
She went to like the fourth or fifth person. And she's like, you know what? Now I should just do something.
Yeah. She's like, just to make sure she doesn't get her.
I can't have you break. You have to do the bottles. Like, I can't have her get stabbed up.
Right. Yeah. And then that's when she comes in.
I just want to know. I would love to find out the kind of training it took to do that fight scene one hand.
Yeah.
Oh, awesome.
Like, is anyone wondering where the arm is? I'm constantly looking at her back, her side.
No, they do. It's a green sleeve. It's an awesome CG job.
They did a great
job. Probably like a green sleeve.
But where? So her arm is just.
So her arm is there. So it's really clever. The hardest part is the lighting, because you have to match the background lighting with being invisible. So like her arm is there. They put a green sleeve. Just like
what about the folds of the jacket?
That's what's crazy. So they're there. And then they put like the green sleeve here, and then they literally just erase the arm like a computer.
Wow.
And then, but it's still there.
But it looks pinched. Isn't the sleeve?
Yeah.
Movie that's I'm glad you look amazing.
The whole time I was looking like, ugh.
And then she stood up and said, hey, look, if you want to look at it.
Yeah, she stood up and I was waiting for to see a little. Yeah, yeah.
That's how amazed you are, because that's how good that's a pretty good CGI job for a TV show.
Because she even had the cuts.
Yeah,
on, like,
I kept looking at the lighting too. I know.
So they blended really well.
And the way she moved with it also, she got that down. Good acting, like, absolutely.
She at one point swung, but obviously in the TV show, she misses because there's nothing there. But I wonder in real life how close she's doing it bend arm or something.
That's how great that's great acting, because she has her arm right next to her.
Yeah, she got kind of like, and she can even walk a little differently and give a little bounce differently. So shout out to them on the acting side.
Seriously.
And then
it's crazy.
Just I guess briefly, what do we think about Comanche now that we get this big reveal that he is this double agent?
Good question.
Because you know the jury's still out for me, because I really kind of started to like him a little bit.
Oh yeah,
really,
I never trusted him.
He has his moments.
I
think it's more of a desperation thing. I think he wants to get his time reduced. He's a felon.
Yeah.
So he probably right before he got out, and the captain came to him was like, yo, if you do this, this, and this. Immunity, exonerated, and you get to live your life. And I think Comanche is more of a desperation thing for him.
Yeah. He's ambitious. He's super ambitious. So this point, he sees it, and if he sees anyone that looks like him or anyone near him or anyone just getting it, he's like, oh, that could be me. Yeah. You know, I feel like his loyalty may be shortened by his ambition.
But you got to think about that. You got to think about that, because you remember the part. He had a perfect opportunity to shift blame.
Yeah.
If you wanted to see his integrity, Hernan was like, don't you think he's, why isn't he answering his phone? He always answers his phone. Do you think he talked to the cops? That was his perfect time to shift blame to double Ray. And he goes, no, he didn't do that. He's loyal. That was his perfect time to shift blame, because he wasn't answering his phone.
Yeah,
I don't think he's ambitious. I think he just wants to
self-preservation.
And he's close. He's in the most dangerous situation he can be.
Oh my yes. God.
You know Shade.
Yes. Because
when I realized he's a double agent, I thought back to that moment where they shoot Arturo and he just has to quickly shoot the other two guys. It's like, whoa. Yeah.
Could have been dead. And like I said, and you know Shade. Shades don't play, man.
Nope, but he's coming
and
for Shade.
Shade trusts him, yeah. too. Mm-hmm. He does. He keeps telling Mariah, like, no, he can be here. He can be here. It's fine. Yeah. So he does trust him. If he found out that he was getting double crossed by him, oh, man.
First thing he did was shake his hand and give him a Benz, if you want to know how much he feels about him having his mm-hmm. back. First thing he did was shake his hand and give him new keys to a car.
Yep.
So, like, that's, and he's the, and you notice that's like usually the only guy behind him. Yeah. Shade's mm-hmm. got one goon with him.
Yeah. I don't know why he's hating. Why do you think he hates on the dynamic between Shades and Mariah so hard? Because even when she made the joke to him, like, I'll take your balls out and shoot them as dice. Afterwards, he threw it back in her face, like, I guess she has your balls, and shooting it like dice. Do you guys remember that line?
Yeah. I mean, I think he knows that together they're strong, and he needs to break that up to get to the to get information back to the cop.
Right.
So if Shades and Mariah fall out, it's gonna be a lot easier to pin stuff on him. You know, and so I think that's what it is.
That's the strategy.
But what I did notice is he's getting more vocal, which I think he is more desperate because you saw in the first few episodes he was silent because he knew Shades is a little crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But now you see him, he's like trying to push the action because. Yes. He's got to go report back to this dude, you know.
And he's also pushing it with Mariah more. He's like, look, let me help you.
Yeah.
He's like, what can I do? And she still doesn't trust him at all.
She's smart.
And yeah, so she knows.
I think Comanche may not last too long.
No.
You just saw Arturo talk crap and got shot directly in the head. And now you're kind of talking crap about Mariah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Shane's not going to stand
he's not taking it longer.
Yeah, he's talking real reckless, though, sometimes.
Yeah.
I think he called it the old something.
That's the little smart little jabs, man.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. And you kind of see Shane's take a moment, almost a beat every time.
He does. Yeah. Like, wait, why are you still here? Why are you still relevant to me? Yeah. Okay.
Or not, man. I tell you, he's a hell of an actor, man. He gives that slight delay, like, bruh.
Yeah.
All right. Right, man.
How far are you taking this?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You keep it up.
Do you guys believe in their relationship?
What do you mean?
Like Shades and Mariah?
I still don't. I don't know why. And it's not, and because I feel like they are such good actors that it should feel natural, but to me, it doesn't.
You don't think
like,
so?
There's an awkwardness there.
Oh, man. I don't know. They're pretty.
Well, I mean, once she started sucking the hand,
the part when she's sitting on his lap and she's like talking to him and she calls him her non. A lot of people don't get away with it. They call him Shades for a reason. Like, they do that dynamic. It's a very smooth dynamic. If you notice, people don't call him that. The only person that calls him her non is her and her assistant called him that one time. Like they call him Shades. That's a respect thing in the hood.
Right.
She calls him her non, and he doesn't even care.
Yeah. And actually,
it's like a pet name to her almost. His real name.
And the line that did it for me was when she says something to the effect of, "Who cares about them? Like, we know this works." You know. And so that to me was like for that me, real intimate reassurance.
Yeah.
For me, for some reason, whenever I see Mariah, like, she shuns him a little bit, and that's when he has to come to her, and he's like, "Hey, we do this together." He's like, whatever we do this. Like, he keeps trying to sort of reaffirm it. And she, I don't know why, I just feel like she's not all in.
I think she was until this thing with the foundation where she had to bring bring the daughter in. Because you notice when he rolled up and she's like, you don't come here unannounced. She's like, since when?
I'm always, even though
the cameras ain't rolling, we ain't watching the episodes, like, I'm always here.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, like, I come over here all the time.
And she very quickly was kind of just like, okay, why are you here? Like, treating him like the help again.
And I love the dynamic. I think that's what's good about the writing. I think they always want you to know that Mariah, she can mother him and boss him. And, like, she's still his boss.
Yeah. She's the brains. I feel like he's the muscle.
Yeah. And I think they want to let us know and let him know at the same time. Like, yeah, bro, yeah, you my partner, but it's 1A, 1B.
And I think there's, you know, I do the Queen Sugar show, and one of the lines that the one lady says is, you know, being a single black woman, I can't show any weakness because I have to make sure this business runs and this works. And I think Mariah may have some of that where she feels like, you know, just the way she grew up and how things were, like, you know, as this black woman running a business, she can't show weakness.
And before her was her grandmother.
She gives him too much.
Yeah, so she can't let Shade think that, you know.
Because she still knows Shade.
She wants to keep that wall up to a degree.
She's been on his LinkedIn, man. She know that dude's resume. Shade gets down. Murder, 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 assault, murder, shooting, murder, murder. Like, so at the same time, she has to flex on him every now and then because he's ambitious.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, people don't know. Like, Al Capone started as like a doorman. Yeah. Like, this dude Capone was like a doorman. They were like, that's just a doorman on there. And they were sleeping on him, and he moved up and moved up and moved up. Well, and then.
And Shades has done this since the first season.
And Mariah in the back of her mind is like, I gotta keep him.
And that's why I still kind of think that because he's so ambitious, I just don't trust him fully.
I think he likes his place, though. Yeah. I think he does. Especially when he asked her about the club.
Yeah.
I think he just wants the club and just to, you know, you don't want
to kind of chill.
Let me get the club. Let me have my little nest egg and do my thing. Let me do me if you want to. Do your foundation. This foundation ain't me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want them to work out though. I don't want to see the
Shades Mariah.
It feel like it's gonna come up.
I do too. I don't know why.
But I feel like I don't want them to start fighting.
Is that Bonnie and Clyde love?
Yeah.
I don't want to start seeing her going against him and he going against her behind the back. Maybe with the other guy, but not necessarily Shades.
I know.
What's his name? Yeah. I can't say his name.
Which one?
Not Habakkuk, but the guy.
Hamachi.
Habakkuk. That's a Bible word. I don't know. Habakkuk. Yeah, Hamachi.
Well, let's go. Let's go. We don't have any more news, do we? No more
news. Like, now.
Out of news. We'll make sure we have some news for you guys on episodes 5 and 6. But let's go into predictions.
Okay.
And now, your After Buzz TV predictions.
And whatever your predictions are, let's all start with Shades and Mariah. Are they going to make it or not?
I want them to make it, but I do not think they're going to make it. That's
your
the
other
fact.
Predictions too, yeah.
Yeah.
No, your other predictions as well.
So. Oh. I was like, that's it. All right. Okay. Yeah. And I think that Claire and Luke Cage will stay together. I think they're going to make it.
Wow.
And, that'd be my prediction for now.
I like it.
I'm take up all the...
I also don't think Mariah and Shades are going to make it. Mm-hmm. I feel like there's just too much coming between them, and she doesn't trust him fully. Or not that she doesn't trust him fully, but like you said, she has her wall up. There's something there. Mm-hmm. And then also, I am seeing, I mean, this is just hope. I think I said this last time. I hope they do this, but I think they're going to have a team up with, the Daughters of the Dragon, mm-hmm. Claire and Colleen. And I'm really excited about that.
Yeah, they tease a nice little, show them what they can do when they're together.
The arm.
The arm.
Oh, yeah.
She's getting the arm.
Yeah, the arm. Mm-hmm. Y'all gotta see that. So, it's interesting. So, because my Asia Adams in the chat, not greasy. Like, she's like, Shades the only one she trusts. That's how I am. Like, Shades grew on me quick, man. The moment when Shades gave Mariah the pep talk after Cottonmouth passed away, that's when he instantly became one of my favorite characters ever, because he was super cool. Like, you know, take your clothes off, do this, do that.
Yeah.
And ever since then, he's been the constant, though. If you really look at her non... Everyone else is going. Luke Cage is going through a little thing, and Claire's doing her thing. And like Hernan has been the same
loyalty
dude, loyal man, maybe to a fault. So I unfortunately don't think it's going to work out. Unfortunately, because I don't get what I want when I want some kind of bag. He's a murderer, but I love Shades, man.
She may end up cheating.
I need a Shades next to me, man. Boy, it's crazy. I feel safer at night. But I also think there might be a little. We'll see something with Bushmaster, maybe a little more wrinkles, and see maybe we'll, as far as predictions, see delve in a little bit more to his abilities and his powers and the extent of them, and maybe what his weaknesses could be. Hopefully, that's what I get to see during in a further episode.
Well, the weakness is definitely that it doesn't last. Right? Really,
you're
it wears off.
You're right though. But at the same time, does it still give him a longer lasting power though? You know what I mean? Because he took that other batch. He took that one dose. He healed himself, and then he took another batch when he was practicing to fight Luke. Yeah. And he seems to be pretty good right now. So I don't know. I think it's. I've
got to figure out the half life.
Seriously, Sean.
My prediction for Shades and Mariah, I think they're going to make it.
Okay.
Really?
Until. Shades is going to do something to Tilda. He's clearly going to knock Tilda off or do something to
Tilda,
separate.
Crazy.
Or do something to get rid of Tilda.
I will go crazy.
And so I think Mariah will be in the dark about that for a while until it's revealed. But I think they'll make it until that point.
Yeah, because he'd be burning a hole in her.
But you just see he's just like, he's doing his best not to already kill her.
Every time he walks by, he's like, girl, I'm crazy. Shades is crazy. I love Shades.
Yeah, so, what else do I see? I mean, I think that's my main prediction, because just watching Shade, that to me is one of the strongest unspoken relationships.
Yes. I think he said, what did he say? Pleasure to meet you one time, that's about it? Yep. That's it. That's the one thing he said there.
And just burning the eyes the entire time. So.
Like, when he walked by, I'm like, he didn't have to look at her like that. You could have just walked out. He made it a point to stop.
I mean, it's crazy, but that's why I love that character.
Yeah, me too.
Super intense. Mm-hmm. But we're going to be back next week doing episodes 5 and 6 and 7 and 8. So for those of you in the chat, you want to go binge the next 4, go for it. I'm going to go probably write home right now and go binge the next four.
Shout out to all y'all in the chat. Ivan Soto and Sam Russ, all y'all up in this chat room, man.
Yeah, we appreciate y'all, man. We appreciate it. We love the show.
Ghost, what's up?
Oh, and if you guys are on iTunes, you guys are listening to our podcast, please give us 5 stars, leave some comments, let us know that you guys are engaged, and check us out a little bit. That helps us, so we really enjoy it.
Subscribe, subscribe, subscribe.
Exactly. And again, my name is Shaka Smith, guys. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at Shaka Strong.
Evan T. Mac on Instagram and Twitter. Holla at your boy, man.
You can, Zia, you can find me on Instagram at Zia_land. It's XIA_LAND.
And Funny Sarai, FUNNYSAYRIE, Instagram and Twitter, also on Facebook, Sarai Comedian.
We'll see you guys next week, 5, 6, 7, and 8.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.